Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station on KYMN. The time is 10:04 and the temperature is 65 degrees and it is sunny and a beautiful beginning to our weekend. Today is July 27th and the year is 2018 and I'm going to get right to my guest. His name is Gary Anderson and I always like to say thank you, Gary. Every time I use a real name, but I'll say thank you, Gary Anderson, for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, you got something big coming up, right?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. Where are you going to be? What are you going to do?
Well, the Buddy Koopman's Big Band, which I am the leader of it right now, and we're playing at the Bridge Square, part of the Vintage. We're the last act of the Vintage Band Festival tomorrow.
Wow. Hey, that's a top billing, huh?
Well, it's the only dance band in the on the agenda, so it'll be a street dance, and we did this 2 years ago, and it was really a blast. It was a perfect night, and tons of dancers came, and
I'm familiar with Buddy Koopman from Faribault,
sure,
the gardener,
yeah,
and the architect. The man is probably one of the, you know, if I had a top 10 interviews, it would have been one of them would have been Buddy, because he does everything.
Yeah.
He is the most. Have you ever been to his home?
Oh, yeah.
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 And his home is an older home by today's standards, but it has implements inside the home that he put in way before other people were putting them in, like the sound system, for example.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, what do you call those kind of green leaf?
Hostas.
Yeah, he's invented his own.
Yeah, he's world-renowned hosta expert.
Yeah, he is an amazing man, and I've enjoyed his band, and I'm glad to see that you're now keeping it going.
Yeah.
I have to settle in on something, first of all. You know, the name Anderson, relatively common name in the area, and people say, well, I wonder who he's related to. And I have friends with the last name Anderson. And one of the ones that I think you might be related to was a beekeeper.
That was my dad, Phil.
Okay, Phil, thank you.
Yeah.
I've interviewed him on the show.
I know, I have a recording of it.
is he still with us?
No, he died in 2007.
Okay, and I'm glad you got that recording.
Yeah.
You ever get it out and listen to it?
I've listened to parts of it. You know, not recently, but a few years ago, and it's really fun to hear his voice, and I mean, I know how his mind works, and when you hear him talk, you can really get a sense of that.
Did you follow the tradition in regards to, not music, but beekeeping?
Well, I do have some bees, yeah. I just do it as a hobby, and every year I think I should just take a break from this, because it's pretty discouraging for, you know, bees are struggling so much these days with all the insecticides and the invasive mites, and they're just not as healthy as they used to be.
And what about that, was it an African bee that came over here, or is coming this way? Killed people?
Yeah, it's never turned out to be as much of a threat as they expected, but they're still. A few years ago, I had a colony that must have been crossbred with an African bee, because they were just so nasty, I couldn't even touch them. You know, you just look at them and they come after you. But they don't make it this far north. I mean, I think, you know, like Louisiana is probably as far north as they get.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
But I will tell you something. Gary Anderson is my guest on KYMN. I will tell you that I have seen several times this summer in my yard bumblebees, and I have not seen a bumblebee for years.
I've noticed that, too. There's more than usual this year. I don't know why.
What benefit are bumblebees besides pollinating? I mean, they're not honeybees.
No. No, I wish my dad were here to tell you more, but the honeybee is the only bee that produces more honey than it needs. They store honey for making it through the winter. Other bees and wasps, I think, pretty much die off, except for the queen.
Okay.
In the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
In the fall, and then they start all over in the spring.
Now, I heard or read somewhere that honey never ever sours or turns bad. That you could find a honey that was packed 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, yeah, and you could still eat it.
Yeah, they found honey in Egyptian tombs, and as long as it stays below a certain moisture level, it never spoils. It'll ferment if you get the moisture high enough.
Okay.
And then you get mead.
Yeah. Well, why is it that, you know, I have to tell you that when I go to the grocery store and want to buy honey, I used to always look for Anderson's honey. And because why not? You know, I mean, honey's honey. I imagine there's better and worser, or if that's such a word. But why is it that sometimes my honey will crystallize?
Well, that's just a natural process. Little particles of pollen and things that are in the honey form a base for crystallization. And so there is a huge difference between honeys. And if you buy,
okay,
buy honey from a big honey packaging operation, they buy honey from all over the world, and they force it through really fine filters and heat it, and that combination of that makes it pretty much not granulate for its whole life. But like my honey, my dad heated his honey to a very, very low temperature so it would stay liquid for a year, but I don't heat my honey. And it crystallizes, you know, within a couple of months.
Okay.
And
I was wondering it seems like if I keep it in a cupboard, it will stay syrupy. And if I have it on the kitchen counter, while, you know, just there with the salt and the pepper and the other things, that it will crystallize. And I'm wondering if the difference between the countertop and the cupboard makes a difference.
I think the only thing that affects how fast it crystallizes is the temperature. So if you put it in the refrigerator, it'll crystallize a lot faster.
Okay, now I want to do that.
And you know, it's real easy to turn it back into a liquid by just really carefully heating it really slowly, and don't let it get up to a temperature more than 120 degrees.
Yeah. Maybe put it in some below boiling point water,
yeah,
and just,
yeah,
set it in a pan of water.
In fact, my label that I used was written by my grandpa, who was my dad's dad was also a beekeeper, and he describes the process of liquefying granulated honey, and he uses the phrase, put it in hot water, not hotter than the hand can bear.
Yeah, okay.
And
You're the third generation, and do you have somebody that's in a daughter or son or grandchildren that might continue the tradition?
Well, I have a grandson. He's 3 months old, 3.5 months old.
Okay, and congratulations.
And he was born in Paris.
Oui.
And I went over there to visit him this summer when he was just like a few weeks old, and I'm hoping, you know, I've got a 45-acre farm that's just a jewel, you know, and I hate to see it have to be sold when I die, but, you know, hopefully it'll get taken over by him.
Where is that located?
Just farm. It's just west of St. Olaf, on Old Dutch Road.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I kind of know where that is. And do you have your boxes out there?
Yeah, I only have five colonies,
okay,
this year. And in fact, they built up so slowly this year that they didn't really have a big enough population to take advantage of the main honey flow. So I'm really not going to have any honey this year.
Okay. Is clover a common thing that bees like?
Yeah, clover. And the main thing in this area is basswood. When the basswood trees bloom, that's kind of the peak of the honey flow.
Oh.
And it makes great honey, real light colored, and
maybe that's what is attracting the bumblebee.
Well,
or not?
Yeah, they. I don't think I'm not sure if they. I've never seen one on a basswood blossom. But I have 7 acres of prairie flowers that I planted a few years ago, and I know they love those. A lot of what they call bee balm, that purplish cluster.
Yeah.
That that really attracts honeybees. And
that's got to be really pretty.
Oh, yeah.
7 acres of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's 13 minutes after 10 o'clock on a Friday morning. Good morning. My guest this morning is Gary Anderson, and I had to take care of my wonderment in regards to, are you related to Phil Anderson? And now I know. But what we want to really promote is something that Paula Gramquist was talking about on her radio show just before us, and that's the big weekend for the brass bands that are coming to Northfield, and you're going to be part of that on Saturday night. You're the closing act for the weekend.
Yep.
Should be fun.
Starting at 8:30 and going until 10 o'clock. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good band. We don't play often enough to be able to, you know, have the same people all the time. So I usually have to fill in, find subs for some shares. But a fellow that works for me, his name is J.C. Sanford, and he's a master musician. I mean, he's like really top of the game, and he knows all the great musicians in the area, and he uses them for his own bands. And so when I need a sub, he's the first person I ask, and he'll fire off a few names for me. And so it's fun because I get a good band together that way.
Do you have some former music directors at from the Northfield High School? Like, I'm thinking Russ Pasola.
Well, Russ will be at the Vintage Band Festival because he's in that American Poyot Finnish band. He and Paul Niemisto started that, I believe, and they're real entertaining. But I have used Leon Hafner, who was the band director in Northfield for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's busy. He's got his own bands to play in, and he spends a lot of time fishing too.
So. Yeah. Do you play in the community band that performs, I think, once a month downtown?
Yeah. Well, I think they do like 5 Thursdays in the beginning of the summer.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and I always play with them when I can. I have other conflicts usually with the John Philip Sousa Memorial Band that I've played in for 25 years up in Edina. And but I play with them when I can. In fact, the last time I played with them was the second to the last concert, I think, this summer. And the director asked anybody in the band to stand up if they've been in the band for more than 5 years and then 10, 15, 20. Yeah. I was still standing at 50 years.
Oh, my goodness. That's something.
Yeah.
And, of course, then you play with Jesse Streitz.
Yeah. I play sax in that band, so usually. Because they usually have plenty of clarinets. Yeah, and he plays
clarinets. And then Sue Klinkhammer? Well, from the bakery?
Yeah, she's been there. I didn't see her this year, but...
Yeah. And I can't. We used to broadcast them live on Red Square.
Oh, yeah.
You probably, you know, I had two mics, one that was set up in front of the band, and then I had a handheld mic, and I would go around and put that mic in front of the soloists, and then I'd just do it for the fun of to anybody, and you could see they just kind of blew a little harder or whatever. So
or maybe quit.
Yeah. Oh no! That's one of the things that. Earl Nightingale, who was an amazing writer, once said, you know, don't say if I, you know, I'd give everything to be able to do that, because you would if you could. And so when I say I wished I would have appreciated and understood music at a younger age and got involved and been able to learn to play an instrument. But you think you're at the grandma's piano and, you know, chopsticks, you're done. And I found an old violin one time in an attic of some person's house, and they said I could play it, and it wasn't music. And I tried to blow into a horn, and holy cow, you have to have such wind control and pursing of the lips, and like you guys say, do you still have your chops?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah. You gotta play regularly to really have it be fun, and I really feel lucky that I have a chance to do that. I mean, I play at least once a week with somebody, some group. And
well, I'm going to take a break, and we'll talk about some of those once-a-week things, and you may be surprised at what I know. We will be right back.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
On September 27th, KYMN will celebrate 50 years of local radio. We're proud of our work here in Northfield, and we want to thank the community for supporting us. On Friday, August 3rd, we'll be blocking off Division Street in downtown Northfield in front of the station between 2nd and 3rd Streets from 5 to 9 p.m. Performances include local favorites Folklorico Dancers, Aztec Dancers, and the Rice County All-Stars. We'll give away thousands of dollars in prizes, some swag, and of course, cake and ice cream, too. Join us for the kickoff of our 50 years of local broadcasting. Event sponsors include ServiceMaster by Hyatt, the Grand Event Center, and the Northfield Golf Club, along with the Oldie Store, Cakewalk, and the Cannon Valley Vet Clinic.
Good morning continues on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Gary Anderson, and he is well known as the leader of the Buddy Koopman Band and also a beekeeper and the son of a beekeeper and a son of a beekeeper.
It goes back even one more generation. My great-grandfather immigrated from Sweden, and he brought the beekeeping skills with him.
Oh.
I have beekeeping magazines, periodicals that go back to 1910.
Wow.
And that, you know.
Is that a valuable library?
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's valuable to me. It's just so fascinating to look at some of those old ideas that they had.
You talked to me out in the green room, and you mentioned something, and I didn't continue the conversation because sometimes if I get involved in a conversation before we go on the air, we don't talk about it, so I just kind of ignored it. But then you said, oh, have you been there? Now, you talked about playing Thursday nights at the Old Caves on Wabasha Street in St. Paul.
Right, yeah.
Well, I lived on George and Georgian Hall. And then there's St. Matthew's Church, and then Winifred goes down to Wabasha. They used to have a 10-story green, we call them the green stairs. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a kid, particularly in the eighth grade, that was our hangout. We would go up there and we'd climb on the outside of it and we'd scale across it. And when they opened those caves many, many, many years ago and then turned it into different things, some succeeded, some didn't. But I took the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce ambassadors to the caves, and we went there and had dinner and danced in those caves. Yeah. So, yes, I'm very familiar with them because we used to sneak in them when we were kids.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the reasons they took those stairs down a few years ago.
Well, you know what? There were some interesting stories that went on those green steps.
Sure.
Between what we call the Lower West Side and the Upper West Side. And then West St. Paul guys would come down and try to mess with us. some great memories. I'd love to see some of the old guys that I used to hang around with back in those days. But that's every Thursday night that you do that through the summer or every other?
The band I play in up there just plays one Thursday night. They have swing dancing every Thursday night,
okay.
But it's four different bands that cover the month.
And what instrument do you play?
I play sax and clarinet.
Okay, what, alto or tenor?
Mostly tenor.
Okay. And so you're with another band on those Thursday nights, or do you bring the Koopman Band up?
No, I the band I play in up there is called Swing Beat.
Swing Beat.
Yeah.
And are they from all around, or are they St. Paul band? Or?
Well, it's mostly Twin Cities.
Okay.
I think I probably travel the furthest to get there. But
do you get to have solos?
Oh, yeah. I Well, being the lead tenor player, most of the music, a lot of the music is written with tenor solos because it's an easier instrument to sound good on, I think, than trumpets or trombones. I don't know. But
What year did you graduate from high school?
67.
Okay. Are you familiar with Earl Bostic?
No.
You're going to have to look him up. Night Train by Earl Bostic.
You know, I sit in once in a while with Jivin Ivan in the Kings of Swing in Faribault.
Uh-huh.
And when I do, he always gets his trombone out and asks me to play along with him on that song.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's one of his favorites.
I can't picture being on a trombone. To me, it has to be a saxophone.
Well, we play duet together, kind of, you know, just by ear. And
but there's a lot of people that don't know who Earl Bostic is, and you'll have to Google him and play one of his songs.
Yeah.
It's raw. Okay, who's your favorite saxophonist?
Oh, well, Stan Getz, going way back. You know, he was the one that I first was really attracted to. But I'm trying to think of, Scott Hamilton, a little newer, you know, more modern saxophone player, but still plays the real classic swing style, and he's a great musician. But there's, you know,
lots of them. Yeah. How about Stan Kenton? Do you like his arrangements?
Yeah, they're a little tougher than mm-hmm. Miller and Goodman. Well, not so much Goodman. Goodman's pretty tough too, a lot of them. But yeah, Stan Kenton was a great guy.
Yeah, especially when he would just blare everything together.
Yeah.
And you're going, what is going on here? And then they just smooth out of it.
Yeah, yeah, he was a great arranger.
It's 26 minutes after 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. Are you a graduate of Northfield High School?
Yeah.
1968?
Seven.
67. So last year you had your 50th class reunion.
Yeah.
And did you go?
You know, I got back from Paris last year from a two-week trip over there to visit my daughter on a Friday night. Yeah, it was a Friday night. I got back about 6 o'clock, drove from the airport. That's after an eight-hour flight. And, you know, I'd already been up for 16 hours by the time I got back to Minneapolis and drove from there to the graduation. By the time I was done, I'd have been up for 24 hours. It was fun.
Did a lot of people show up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, a lot. It was a big crowd.
I was talking to a lady that's part of a group that is going to have their 50th in August, I think, the class of 68. And, of course, KYMN Radio started in 1968.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll be 50 years on the air on September 27th at 10 a.m. And we got a lot of fun coming up on August 3rd. I guess that'd be a week from today. There'll be a street dance right out front here in front of the studios with one or two bands. I don't know who they are. I forget who they are. But anyhow, do you remember when you were a young boy and maybe you took a look at the Northfield newspaper and you saw all these old people that were here celebrating their 50th high school graduation?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And you thought, what? 50 years?
Yeah. They looked so old.
Yeah. It's amazing. So as a kid going through Northfield High School, you had the farm where you're at now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you had to take the bus, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you go to the, you were one of the, what, the second class out of the, what?
No, we were the first class that graduated from what we called the new high school back
right,
then.
Right, yeah.
I guess it's still the new high school.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. About time to build another one, I think, but. You know, it works.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of talk about that coming up in the future.
Yeah.
So who were some of your classmates what did you do? Were you in the band at Northfield High?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I played in the band and the stage band, we called it back then. I'm trying to think of the first name of the Anderson that was the band director in the beginning. And then Russ Pessola took over the last couple of years, 3 years that I was there. But I also played football and went out for track and, you know, stayed busy.
Now, when you were out on the farm there, did you have to limit your travel in while you were in grade school, maybe even middle school, to just the area out south and west of town, or did you get a car early in your life?
No, I didn't have a car until I was in college.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I had access to the family car, but
do you have brothers and sisters?
I had one brother who's a year and a half older than me, was killed in a motorcycle accident in 1970. So his life was cut short. But
and what was his name?
Richard.
Richard Anderson. Okay, was that in this area?
Oh, the accident? No, it was on a little two-lane highway in Postville, Iowa.
Okay. Yeah. And motorcycles weren't as popular as they are now back then.
No.
And I'm sure Mom and Dad said, hey, don't get on a motorcycle.
No, and I always feel a little guilty that I was the first one to get a motorcycle, and that probably had something to do with my brother wanting one. And
yeah. What kind did you get?
It was a used Yamaha. It looks silly now. It's like a little scooter now. But
yeah. Honda had a little Sport 50. That's the first one I got back in 67.
Yeah.
And now, of course, they make nice big bikes that you can go cruising on. You ever had a desire to do that, like get a trike and go traveling?
No, not. The day after my brother died, I loaded my motorcycle in the back of the pickup and hauled it into town and sold it to a cycle shop over by the Dairy Queen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Never ridden since.
Yeah, I know which one you mean. The little like house that's kind of angled on, where the storage area is, or the
north side of the Dairy Queen. Yeah.
Oh, was that a bike shop then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I always thought there was a guy that worked at Shellball that had a motorcycle dealership and shop. Before you got that far on North 3, and it's like a one big room house that kind of faces Highway 3 at an angle.
I can't remember that.
But anyhow, that's not important. So what did you do in high school in football?
I played tackle.
Okay.
I was probably most famous. My football career was most noted for the fact that I broke my leg the first game of the 66 season and spent 2 months in the hospital.
Wow.
Just because it was such a clean break, they couldn't get it set, stabilize it. And
in the football game?
Yeah.
What happened? Now, Don Hill was your coach, right?
Yeah.
I just had him on the air last Friday.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's still going. That's great. Good to hear. Yeah, well, I was trying to block the runner in a football return play, and ended up standing in a pile-up, and somebody came along, and the film quit just before the accident. So there's not a film of it, but they were filming the game, but they ran out of film at just that moment. So I don't know who it was, but somebody from Faribault came along and just hit me. Oops, hit me really hard and snapped my leg off. It was just like,
did it hurt?
Instantly. Well, it mostly just made me mad at the time. But
did the guy apologize?
No, I have no idea who it was.
Oh.
I bet he does, though.
Yeah. did you play the next season then?
Yeah, I did, actually.
And what's besides that play, the one that you hurt your leg on, there's got to be another play that you'll never forget when you were playing football for Don Hill, for the Raiders, against some team, a play that you were involved in that you'll never forget.
No, there really isn't. I mean, it was for Northfield to win a football game back then, it was like once every few years. You know, we never won. It was a pretty discouraging team at the time. You know, I mean, we had fun. I enjoyed it, but we were way outclassed by all the other schools
in
our conference.
They were huge.
Yeah, like Rochester.
Rochester, Mankato, Albert Lea, Austin, Owatonna, Faribault. Now, when I moved to Northfield in 1968, 50 years ago in August, The town size wasn't, the students weren't included because that didn't happen until 1970 that they started including the students in the population.
The college students, yeah.
I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that. It was right around 5,000. And now it's 20,007.
Yeah.
And you know that that includes about 5,000 students. So it tripled, Northfield's tripled its size.
Yeah.
And probably one-tenth of the retailing they had compared to today.
It's all happening in the south, Dundas and north in the, you know, the suburbs.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but it's really wonderful that they've been able to preserve the downtown of Northfield so well. And I'm lucky, too, that where I live is in Bridgewater Township. And back in about, I think, 1964 or so, they passed a law that, a zoning law that you had to have at least 40 acres to have a house on it.
Right.
And so the farms have stayed together, and there's very, you know, still really spacious living out there.
And if you had 160 acres, you could build four houses on the corners.
Yeah.
And I live in Bridgewater Township.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. You know where 124th Court East is?
No.
Well, you know, when you go out Highway 3 and you turn left to go to Cannon City.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you kind of go up a little hill, then down a little hill, then up a big hill, then down a big hill, then up a bigger hill, right on the top there, a mile from Highway 3.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize Bridgewater Township went that far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's about, it's in the woods, so, you know, you drive by, you only see a couple of houses. We're going to take a break and come back with a townie, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gary Anderson.
Every summer, you got to pick. Vacation or staycation. Or, with Mall of America, it's a playcation. Start at Radisson Blu Mall of America, the hotel connected to MOA, giving you instant access to everything. And the kids will love the indoor swimming pool. Launch your day at Fly Over America, the ultimate flying ride. Soar from coast to coast. Feel real wind and mist. Then go deep at Sea Life Minnesota Aquarium. Come face to fin with sharks and sea turtles in a 300-foot-long underwater tunnel. Color me excited for Crayola experience. Melt wax spin art, name your own crayon, see how crayons are made, and so much more. Then it's game on with over 100 classic and cutting edge video games at GameWorks, plus epic bowling and high def sports viewing. And have you been to Rick Bronson's House of Comedy? It's the place to drink, dine, and laugh. And the High Point, Nickelodeon Universe, 7 acres of spine tingling rides and one-of-a-kind attractions. Shop, dine, stay, and play all in one place. Visit mallofamerica.com for details.
Leo South in Lakeville is not your typical power sports company. It's family owned and run, meaning you actually get to talk to the owners. What's even more impressive is they have 25 plus employees, and they all work every hour they're open, so you don't have to stand in long lines waiting for help. Plus, get faster and more coordinated service. And getting parts, well, there's so much experience behind the parts counter, you'll be amazed. Our motto is we sell fun, but every day our mission is to help you from finding parts, getting service, or shopping for something new and fun too. Visit leosouth.com to tempt yourself.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association at this station.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. We are the 195.1 FM, and of course, in September, 50 years old, 1080 on your AM dial. Boy, those flowers out there are just gorgeous. Are you into flowers at all, Gary Anderson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my parents spent a lot of time gardening, especially when they were older and more or less retired, but I've tried to maintain their gardens as much as I can, and I have when I moved back to Northfield 7 or 8 years ago, I guess, I took 7 acres of the tillable land and put it into pollinator habitat. It's a CRP program that I was in. I still am. So it's all, you know, right now it's in full bloom, and it's It's really fun to see all the life that's out there. I mean, there's so many butterflies and bees, and I've seen native bees this year for the first time. Like you were saying earlier, a lot of bumblebees this year, but it's just fun. I've just seen more monarch butterflies this year than I have for a long time.
I haven't seen one for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I remember when they used to stop here on their way, wherever they were going.
Yeah.
In my backyard in town on East 6th Street was just covered with monarchs. But I don't see them as much as I would like to, I can tell you that. So what did you do after high school? You went on to college?
Yeah, I went to St. Olaf. I graduated from St. Olaf in 1971.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you play football for Mr. Porter?
No. I was in the St. Olaf band for 4 years. And
how about the choirs? Did you ever get into them?
No.
Okay. What did you major in?
Well, math and economics, basically because I didn't know what to do. So
okay.
I thought, well, math and economics, that sounds like might make a living someday.
And what did you do after graduation?
What did I do? So long ago. I actually the first job was with Bechtel Corporation, which was building nuclear power plants at that time. And so I was working for them in different construction sites around the country. And then after a couple of years, 3 years of that, I decided, you know, I really want to be a musician. So I quit and came back to Minnesota. I went to the University of Minnesota for just 1 year, and then I got in a band. And that band went on for a few years. And after that, I became a cabinet maker and for a few years. And then I started a company called the Energy Conservatory, which was we developed what has turned out to be the most advanced blower door and airflow measuring equipment for measuring the air tightness of houses and buildings and different enclosures, part of an energy conservation program. And then I started inventing things. I invented a little air sealing device called the pulley seal for sealing the pulley opening in those old windows with ropes and pulleys. Made a good living at that for a while. Then I started developing this folding wood music stand, which I think I'm most famous for. That's what people remember me for. And that was a great product that went on for a while, but couldn't really make a living at it. But in the meantime, I developed a music stand light. That is why I make my living now.
A music stand light?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a light to shine on the music?
Yeah, yeah. It's,
okay.
It's a rechargeable lithium battery powered LED light, and you'll see them if you come to hear the Buddy Koopman's orchestra.
So they just clip on the music stand?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And you invented that with a patent?
No, I didn't get a patent on that. By that time, I was kind of... No, actually, I did get a patent, but that's expired now. So I've never... After going through a few patents with the types of things that I developed, it was kind of a waste of money because nobody would really likely think of copying it or didn't offer any protection. Also, you know, patents only give you as much protection as you have money to fight a competition. So it's a great light, and I enjoy making it and selling it all over the world.
Wow. It's got to make you feel good when you walk into a venue and you say, there's my light. And you go up and say, hi, my name's Gary. I invented that. Did you ever watch Shark Tank?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think? Do you think that's sincere? Do you think it's entertainment, but
yeah.
I kind of get a kick out of that show.
Yeah, I do too. I've only watched bits and pieces of it, but lots of people have told me you should go on Shark Tank, and I think I'm not the personality at all that could stand up there and sell my product and listen to these money guys talk about it and how, you know, how much they're going to pay for it, and I wouldn't feel, I'd buckle.
Well, one of the things for those that are fans of it, one of the things I don't like is when they say, I'll give you this for that and this, but you got to tell me right now. And I go, well, they're suggesting that you become an entrepreneur, and you can't become an entrepreneur if you take the first offer that comes up. You have to indulge in a conversation with others to find out what exactly is left. And then they played the game where, okay, I withdraw my offer because you waited for it. And then they say, well, I wasn't going to bid. It's a fun show. Yeah. And they come up with some great things in reference to ideas.
No, that's right. I know this. I've heard of some of them that have really made it big.
Now, where were you living when you were doing raising your family? Do you have a daughter or a son or several?
I have two daughters.
Okay.
And
where did they grow up?
They grew up in South Minneapolis. And I spent most of my adult life in South Minneapolis until I moved back home after my parents died.
South Minneapolis, near what?
Minnehaha Creek, 53rd and Colfax was actually
okay.
Where it was.
Okay. Nice neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful neighborhood.
Okay. And where did the girls go to school?
Minnehaha Academy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what did they do with their education? Did you send them to St. Olaf?
No, they both went to college. One of them only went for 1 year, and the oldest one went for 4 years. I don't think she ever got a degree. In any case, she's never had a job that where she's used her college experience, but she's really smart, so yeah. You know, she can she can do whatever she sets her mind to. And the youngest one went to cosmetology school.
Okay.
And she's does great work with hair.
In town here? Or?
Well, in Minneapolis.
Okay.
When she was there, but now she's moved to Paris for the time being. I mean, both her partner and her are. And she are looking for ways to a way to come back to the United States, but and she's back here now for the summer. All of them are, and so she lined up a bunch of old clients to do hair for when she's okay. back this summer to make some money, and she works for a person over there part time that does photo shoots for models. And
Where's that at?
In Paris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What are the names? There are probably people listening that went to school with them.
No, they didn't go to Northfield.
Oh, that's right. They went to
but
Minnehaha Academy. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Louisa and Annalisa are their names. And,
okay.
Yeah. Great to have kids.
I don't know. Sometimes.
If I didn't have kids and music, I don't know what I'd be doing.
Well, we're going to take a little break here. We'll be right back with Gary Anderson. He is known for his saxophone and
clarinet.
Yeah, I don't know why I was going to say trombone. That's a different story. And also a beekeeper, an inventor, a man of all means. It's pretty interesting. We'll be right back.
Affordable living could be yours at Northfield Manor, located on the campus of the Northfield Retirement Community. The Manor offers HUD-supported one-bedroom apartments for seniors age 62 and older, or for persons with a disability. If your annual income is less than $43,750 per year, you could qualify. Northfield Manor tenants enjoy all the amenities that the Northfield Retirement Community Campus has to offer. For more information, call 507-650-7332 today. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
Come to the Scott County Fair, July 25th through the 29th, for 5 days you won't forget. This year, the fair near Jordan will be bigger and better than ever. There will be a mini rod show in conjunction with the Monster Truck Show on Friday night. There's free parking on Thursday/Kids Day until 1 o'clock p.m. for those with kids under the age of 12. And as usual, seniors and veterans get free parking until 4 o'clock on Friday. Go to scottcountyfair.org for a complete list of events. Don't miss the Scott County Fair, July 25th through the 29th.
Sorry about that. At 12 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair, my guest this morning is musician Gary Anderson, and he is going to be performing along with what they call the Buddy Koopman Band. He's the band director now, and they'll be down on Bridge Square. They'll be the final act of a weekend of fun on the what's it called, Brass Heritage or
Vintage Band Festival.
No, that was close.
Yeah, no. And in fact, except for a group called the Southside Aces, the Buddy Koopman's band is the only band of the day that has woodwind players in it. I guess there's a couple of, the New Prague band has some woodwind players, but it is really focused on brass instruments.
Does that all start this evening, or is it all day Saturday?
No, it just starts Saturday morning, I think at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
It isn't like the ones that they've had in the past where they're all weekend in different churches and places and venues.
No, Paul Nemesto, I think, tries to do that every third or fourth year, the big 3 or 4 day event. But no, this is just one day. It's 11 great bands in 12 hours, I think.
Every time you say Paul Nemesto, I remember exactly where I met him. And I don't know if you remember, there used to be you cross the 2nd Street Bridge from Division over to Highway 3, right on the left-hand side, there used to be an Instiprint company there.
Remember that.
And I met Paul Nemesto. Shirley was the lady that owned the place. And I thought, wow, this guy's like me. I mean, he's not bashful. Hi, how are you? Nice weather we're having. Yeah. And then I always think about the tuba concert at Christmas time.
Yeah.
You ever been to that?
I've never been to it, but I know about it.
Yeah,
I know people that have been playing in it.
It is fun. It is. Can't believe I'm going, wow, tubas carry melodies.
Yeah. Paul is really a real creative guy and knows how to entertain.
So did you hear any tales about the Wabasha caves that you perform in once a month on Thursday night?
Well, I have heard bits and pieces. I've never taken the tour. They do a tour that is... I really should do it sometime. It's the people that lead it dress up in, you know,
gangster.
1920s, gangster kind of, and they take you around not only the caves but around St. Paul where all the gangster stories, you know, originated. And there's in the caves you can see there's pictures of Ma Barker and Al Capone and. I can't remember some of the other gangsters that are pictured in there, you know, that had visited back when it was a speakeasy.
Mm-hmm. Used to be a mushroom cave and a beer cave and all kinds of things. Yeah. And like I say, when I was a kid, we're talking, oh my gosh, 62-63 years ago. It was that we played there. That was what you did, you know.
Yeah.
You lived in Minneapolis. Now you're playing in St. Paul. And have you ever said to yourself, you know, I like St. Paul better, but I can't find out where I'm going? Or I like Minneapolis better, the grid is working?
St. Paul is definitely harder to find your way around.
Yep.
And it's got a lot more character, I think, as far as, you know, ethnic, I don't know, history and so forth. But I ended up in Minneapolis because of my work and my music, too, and settled in there. For a long time, I lived in a house that was right on Cedar Lake on a dead-end street.
Ooh,
that it was in the middle of Cedar Lake Park, which is an undeveloped park. They just have trails through there, and they, you know,
wow,
really a nice
location.
Really nice
location, huh?
In fact, when I lived there and had bees, my bees in the city always did better than the bees I had down here because, you know, here it's kind of a desert for bees with all the beans and corn and, and the insecticide that they use to control insects affects the bees. And you know, in the city, even in Northfield, you know, there's all kinds of flowers and it's safer for bees and just more variety to their diet there.
What do hummingbirds and bees have any relationship at all?
No, just that they're both pollinators.
Yeah.
I have lots of hostas because Roger Koopman's always gave my parents hostas and I keep them going. And when they bloom, there's a little competition, you might say, between the bees and the hummingbirds. It's really fun to see them both out there working on hostas.
Do ants ever get involved in beehives?
Well, they will live in the tops or bottoms of beehives, but they don't pose any threat to bees or vice versa. They just ignore each other, okay. Like dogs and cats.
I just learned that bears eat a lot of ants. It provides protein.
Oh, really?
They're omnivorous.
Omnivorous.
And they both, you know, plants and meat, and they really go after, you know, bees and ants. And it kind of surprised me. You know, just claw open a dead log and feast.
I think the reason they go after bees is because of the honey.
Yeah, that's true. We are going to take a final break at 6 before 11 on the Wayne Eddy Affair. We'll revisit what he, being Gary Anderson, is up to this weekend on the Wayne Eddy Affair. On the Wayne Eddy Affair.
There. The Waseca Hockey Association Outdoor Summer Bash, featuring the Gear Daddies July 28th at the Boxcar Bar in Waseca, is brought to you by Western Specialized in Mankato, delivering results one truckload at a time, and 95.1 KYMN. Doors will open at 4 p.m. with special guests the 8th Street Band and Tri-8. The Gear Daddies will then take the stage, capping off a fun night of music. Get your tickets online at www.wasecahockey.org or in person at the Boxcar Bar in Waseca.
Your home, auto, and life are important to you. That's why the Northfield Insurance Agency works hard to provide you with the right protection. Kevin and Stan offer the products you need with the premier service you deserve. They carry business, auto, farm, homeowners, commercial, and bonds. Northfield Insurance is your independent agent, and they're connected with many insurance companies providing you with the lowest possible rates. That's the Northfield Insurance Agency.
We're back live from our studios on Division Street in downtown Northfield, and Gary Anderson is my guest today at 5 before 11 o'clock. Are you enjoying yourself this morning?
Oh, yeah. I was a little nervous, you know, like, well, what are we going to talk about? But you really make it easy.
Well, frankly, I usually do 2 hours, and with your background, we could have gone off on all kinds of tangents, particularly about getting patents and all that. Why does it cost so much for a patent attorney? Do you know what they're doing to earn all that money?
Well, it's complicated law, and, you know, there's drawings involved. Depending on how complicated your product is, you know, the drawings can be a big part of it. And there's real specific rules about how things have to be drawn. And it's really, I think it's fair to say that it's really turned into a money-making operation for the government. They charge a lot to apply for a patent, and you have to renew it every few years.
For example, your little LED light thing for the music stand, what did the government charge you to look at your patent? Or look at your invention.
Well, by the time I had the drawings done and the patent application done, I probably had and the fees paid. It was probably at least $10,000-$12,000.
Okay. Well, I've heard of extraordinary much more than that.
Yeah. Well, that was just for a U.S. patent.
Yeah.
You know, if you really wanted to protect something, you'd have to have it protected in all countries, and that's really
how did you distribute those and have them manufactured, and how were they sold?
The lights?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they're made right here at my home in Northfield. But the circuit boards are made in Hibbing, and the plastic injection molded parts are made in Rochester. And I say in all my advertising, made in Minnesota. In fact, in the Vintage Band Festival program, it says made in Northfield. And the distribution really is almost entirely because of the internet and word of mouth.
Okay.
I run one ad maybe every other month in a periodical called International Musician. But most of it is word of mouth, and it's always good word of mouth. So
did you know Mr. Bailey that had all the sheet music?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. What was his first name?
Well, Mr. Bailey, as far as I can get with it, Jack or something like that, on the corner of 5th and Division on the southwest corner, which is now something else. Paul Smith has made it into a beautiful building. But did you ever go up and get music from him?
No, I never went there. Okay. I never went to that location. Where I got music from him was in the basement of the Nutting House.
Oh, wow.
So a friend of mine, Steve Anderson, who's not with us anymore, but we were both clarinet players, and we'd go after school across the street from the old high school to the Nutting House, and Mrs. Nutting would come to the door and show you where the basement stairs was, and you'd go down there, and really high ceiling, and it was just wall to wall, stacks of folders of music. It was just amazing.
Now, regular listeners of the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN know I'm always going to ask the question, do you remember your first bicycle?
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, it was red and white.
Yeah, that's...
and it didn't have a tank. I was disappointed in that. You know, the old bikes, yeah. If you could afford it, they'd have a sort of like a gas tank looking
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and then the horn would be inside there.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. I think it was a Schwinn, but I don't remember. I remember we got it. My dad bought it at
McDonald's or...
it was a hardware store.
In town here?
Yeah.
Shum's?
Could be, yeah.
Shum's Hardware?
Yeah, that might be.
McDonald's Hardware?
I can't remember.
That would be back in the early 60s or late 50s.
It was probably 50s, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't around then, so... I want to say, of course, thank you very much for coming in. It's 11 o'clock. And let's remind everybody, number one, the
Buddy Koopman's Orchestra
is a final act of a Saturday full of great music performed by people that are involved in a...
Vintage Band Festival, yeah.
Put together by...
Paul Niemisto.
And starts tomorrow morning at...
I think it's 10 o'clock is the first act. But every hour there's a different performance. And except the last two acts, the Copper Street Brass is before us. They play for 75 minutes, and we play for 90 minutes.
And, of course, bring your own lawn chair. That's very important.
Yeah, there's not a lot of park benches there to sit on. But
yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad that you were able to find the time here. And I'd like to stop out at your place and see that 7 acres of...
prairie. It's native prairie, mostly flowers.
Yeah.
But, some grasses.
Wildflowers.
Yeah. No, this is the time to do it. It's in peak bloom right now.
Well, when we get done here, we'll get the address.
Yeah.
Everything okay? Hope you had a good time.
Oh yeah, thanks a lot. It was really fun. Appreciate you inviting me.
Okay. We are going to go to our playlist now on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. Now, let's see, we're 1080 on your AM dial, but that's not all.
95.1, the one station where our playlist goes on for days.